So it's the Adivas day to our Gurudev's disappearance day, the anniversary of our Gurudev's disappearance day. It was 8 years ago that our Gurudev left this world. Actually, this year, the lunar calculation, it's practically the same as the solar, you know, anniversary. Actually, today, according to solar calculation, our, you know, our standard Western calculation, today, it was the 27th of March that our Gurudev left. It's about 4:30 in the morning in Calcutta. Actually, Srila Saraswati Thakur, the way that our Gurudev left, you know, there's a parallel with the way that Srila Saraswati Thakur left. He also left in Calcutta, the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, and they carried him to Mayapur, to the Chaitanya Math, and there he was given samadhi. And similarly, our Gurudev, he left in Kolkata, and his divine form was taken to Navadvip, and he was placed there beside his beloved Guru Maharaj, Shri Vishnu Pad, Shri Bhakti Lakshak, Shri Hardev Goswami Maharaj. So now they are both there together, you know, they are in samadhi together. Really, we think of them as eternal associates. And Gaur Narayan Prabhu, he asked me to speak something for this day, and I agreed. You know, I always feel happy to be of service in any way, and if our devotees are affectionately asking me, then I want to reciprocate with that. And so I immediately said yes, but actually now I'm feeling, you know, who am I, you know, to be able to glorify our Gurudev? I'm not able to say anything in his glorification. In his humility, Srila Gurudev, he used to say, I was like a louse, you know, like lice. These insects, they stay very close to the person that they're, you know, infesting. And they're very, very close, but actually they're very far away, you know, they don't have any real conception of who that person is. And Gurudev, Srila Gurudev used to say that in his humility. Of course, we know how beloved he was to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. We know how much Srila Sridhar Maharaj appreciated him in the deepest way. He is more than me in many ways, he expressed. So we know their relationship is, you know, it is an eternal divine relationship that they have. But in my own case, it is really the truth, you know. That who was Gurudev? I don't have the capacity to comprehend that. I just feel like that, like an insect who came into some remote connection with Gurudev. And as the years go by, as I continue in my attempts to try to serve him, pathetic attempts to try to serve him, little as time goes by, little more, but it is still like, it is like nothing, you know. And all I realize is how much I don't know and how much I don't actually appreciate, you know, who he was. But if I continue in this service connection, then something more may be revealed to me. This is the nature of association with the with such a exalted sadhu Vaishnav as our Gurudev. In Chaitanya Charitamrita there's that famous verse, sadhu sanga sarva sastra koi lava macha sadhu sanga sarva sihoi, that all the scriptures declare sadhu sanga, everything can be attained through that, all perfection can be attained through that. Even it mentions lava macha sadhu sanga sarva, that just by this word lava, actually, literally, it means, if I recall correctly, an eighth of a second, like a very minute amount of time. So even by, you know, a fraction of a second's association with the sadhu, everything can be attained. And Srila Swami Maharaj, that can be that. Phrase can expression can be a little puzzling. Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, he gave some new light on that, which really, you know, struck me. He described how he first came when he first met with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and how they had that they had their first meeting, they had discussion, and at that time Srila Swami Maharaj, he was very involved in Gandhi's non-cooperation movement against the British rule. So he was, you know, like a political activist, and his friend kind of like pulled him along to meet Srila Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Saraswati Thakur, the famous first thing that he said to him, "You look like an educated young man, why don't you preach to the English-speaking people?" And Srila Swami Maharaj, he responded with his, you know, political ideology, you know, "We're a dependent nation, first we should become independent from the British." And Srila Saraswati Thakur just completely defeated him, you know, he was conquered by him in that first meeting. He was convinced by him. But he, you know, after that, he went back to his life, and, you know, he was married, he had family life, he had a pharmacy. But he, Srila Swami Maharaj said that in the course of that, you know, his worldly life, you know, He would often be remembering Srila Saraswati Thakur and thinking, "I really met a real sadhu, you know, I met a real sadhu." He would be contemplating that from time to time. And so he described how over time, the influence of that short association, it became revealed over time. You know, it wasn't that immediately, you know, that transformation took place. Of course, we understand this is all lila, this is a pastime. Srila, we understand Srila Swami Maharaj to be Nitya Siddha, you know, eternally liberated soul who descended from that plane, but this is his pastime. So anyhow, he described this, you know, like gradual transformation, this influence wrought itself over him, expressed itself over him over a period of time, you know, gradually. And so, similarly, you know, we can think, you know, we got some time with our Gurudev. We had some time with our Gurudev. And it may have been very short, you know. But over time, But whether or not it was short or not, whether it was one moment or one day or one month or one year or 10 years or 20 years, actually that's not the point. The point is how much were we able to appreciate it at the time in that physical association. really not very much, you know. But as time goes by, if we continue to sincerely engage in the practice and following his teachings, then we will be able to appreciate more and more gradually the influence of that association, the significance of that. It will begin to manifest within us more and more. So that is very encouraging, you know, that is very, very hopeful thing. And we have to think Srila Gurudev was a fully spiritual being. And so he is not limited to the constrictions of time or space. He is not restricted to those things. He can approach us here and now, you know, he can guide us here and now. He can bestow his grace upon us here and now. It is all a spiritual transaction, and it is not dependent on anything of this world, you know, any physical restriction of this world. And we're very fortunate in that, you know, and you know, we're having to deal with this, you know, like children, lost children, orphaned children. You know, of course, we can't think that we have real separation. We don't know what real separation is. You know, we won't think that we do. You know, Mahaprabhu and his Shikshashtakam, he gives some idea of what that is. You know, yugayitam nimesham, a moment feels like forever. You know, everything is vacant, the whole world is a void, and separation from you. You know, we're getting some hint, some touch of an idea of what it is. We don't have that ourselves, but still, we are like travelers who lost our guide, who lost our physical guide, children who lost their parent, and so it is, you know, definitely there's some pain involved, you know. But we're fortunate that, you know, in dealing with that, we can look to how Srila Gurudev described his vision about Srila Sridhar Maharaj's departure from this world. That is very helpful for us. Because another thing is that we can't rely on our own estimation, our own judgment of things. Even when we go to describe our feelings, we can't really count that as something very substantial. But rather, we will look to how others who are living on a substantial spiritual platform, what type of mood, what type of response has come from them. You know, to contemplate that, to try to appreciate that, that will be helpful, that will be meaningful, that will be substantial on our part. Like, this is slightly, you know, off topic, but Judamanyu Prabhu, he told how he, 1 year when he was with Srila Gurudev in Navadvip, or in India, and he was leaving to go back to San Jose, and he was going to lead the program for Srila Sridhar Maharaj, I believe his appearance day. And he said as he was going, Srila Gurudev was giving him some instructions on how the festival should be held. And then he said as he was going, the last instruction he gave, it really bewildered him. Srila Gurudev finally told Yudhamanyu Prabhu, remember, Prabhu, you are not qualified to give a certificate to Guru Maharaj, you know. You cannot give a certificate to Guru Maharaj. And that really bewildered Yudhamanyu Prabhu, because he thought, like, I'm supposed to be glorifying Srila Sridhar Maharaj, but you know, he's so great and he did this and he did that and he's this and he's that. But now Srila Gurudev telling me not to give a certificate, like, what does that mean, you know? And so then he explained that over time he understood that he could glorify Srila Sridhar Maharaj by describing what others have said, those who are really qualified, you know, how, like, what did Srila Saraswati Thakur say about him? What did his godbrothers say about him? In that way, he could glorify Srila Sridhar Maharaj. You know, like, who are we in our low platform to give vent to any real appreciation? You know, what to speak of giving, like, a stamp of approval, you know. So this, we hear this phrase, Anukirtan. Anukirtan. Kirtan, you know, to glorify, to praise. And Anu has different meanings, but here, to follow, you know. So means like Kirtan as you've heard it, you know. Kirtan, according to what you have heard, you know, from the higher qualified persons. And so, you know, on this day, you know, we're thinking very intensely of our Gurudev's departure. We may have so many emotions or, you know, so many experiences and this and that. But to describe that won't be so helpful for us, you know. But to look to what has been expressed by those on a substantial platform, that will be meaningful, substantial, and progressive and helpful for us. So anyhow, Srila Gurudev, we're fortunate that we've heard how he has expressed his vision and his feelings, and so that can guide us, you know. That is like a, you know, in the darkness we may feel, that is like a light shining us, you know, like a navigating a lighthouse for us. And one talk that Srila Gurudev gave, and we published it, so you may have read it. It was Srila Gurudev gave a few months after Srila Sridhar Maharaj's departure from this world. And so you see that Gurudev's mood, it's like very, like, raw, you know, it's very fresh, his feeling of separation. And it's, you know, very heart-touching, very poignant. And one thing he says in there, he says, you know, what does samadhi mean? You know, now, in the sense that now, our Gurudev has withdrawn from our, you know, immediate vision. He's not present. For what is the real significance of that? And what is the purpose of that? We can say, like, relative to our practicing life, you know, as faithful disciples. So Gurudev said that Guru Maharaj wants to hiddenly see our activities. You know, Guru Maharaj was here and he taught us so much. He gave us so much. And now And he said, like, and then when he was, like, giving everything for us, he was always with us, we were always depending on him. And then when we weren't so conscious, then he left, you know, and he disappeared. But he's actually hiding, he's in a hidden position. He wants to see, what will we do now? He wants to observe, what will we do now, you know. He told us everything, he taught us everything. And then when he's not present, then what will we do? No. So, and he also said he wants to see what is our progress report. So it's like, you know, your daddy was with you, daddy told you this, daddy told you that. And now that daddy's not here, are you going to follow that? Are you going to practice that? How much have you really matured? How much have you really taken those teachings to heart? As Srila Sridhar Maharaj says about this in Sri Guru and His Grace, the fire has come to test us. You know, how much are we real disciples? Here I found this section in Shri Guru and His Grace. What we received from our spiritual master, we understood only in a rough estimation. Now things have come in such a way that we have to scrutinize ourselves in every position. We have to analyze ourselves. Atma nikshepa, self-analysis has begun. We are under trial. What we received from our spiritual master, in what way have we received it? Properly or only showingly? The time has come to purify us, to test whether we are real students, real disciples, or His disciples only in face and confession. What is the position of a real disciple? If we live in the society, what is the depth of our creed? And what attitude have we accepted His teachings? How deep-rooted is it within us? The fire has come to test whether we can stand. Is our acceptance real, or is it a sham, an imitation? This fire will prove that. So from this perspective, it is actually like an opportunity to try to prove ourselves to our Gurudev. Not only when He was present, but afterwards, we are also faithfully trying to follow and uphold what He stood for. Srila Sridhar Maharaj also described separation as the greatest test, you know, the test of separation. If we can pass that, then we are in a strong place, you know, we are in a strong position in our spiritual life. Srila Gurudev would also speak about finding the presence of our Guru in the hearts of His faithful followers, you know, in His disciples, in His paraphernalia, in everything that was connected to Him, we can find His presence there. He mentioned once, and you know, if all of these things, you know, Guru Maharaj, His deities, His devotees, His temple, if they were dear to Guru Maharaj when He was present, and now that He's gone, then suddenly He doesn't care anymore about these things. No, it is not like that. He cared for these things and He still cares for those things. And so if we care for Him, then we will continue in our service and appreciation of all of those things connected to Him. And that is our fortune, that, you know, our Gurudev, He established this worldwide mission. You know, all over the world we have this mission of Sri Chaitanya Sarasvamat. And more significantly, he captured the hearts of so many devotees, so many faithful souls around the world. You know, they came forward, they offered their lives, you know, in service to His divine grace and this great mission of Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Saraswati Thakur and Mahaprabhu. They took this ideal into their heart. And so we have this fortune of being able to develop our relationship with these devotees, with this mission, to enter into, you know, service, you know, more and more deeply into service life. You know, we have that opportunity. And we can think that just as Gurudev cared about all these persons and paraphernalia when He was present, as He did and so clearly did, so He still does. And we can continue to get His grace by rendering service to these persons and to this paraphernalia, you know, like to continue what He started. He started it actually, but He was expecting all of us to continue with that, you know. And Bhakti Lalita Didi, she's told the incident, maybe some of you have heard that already, that how Srila Gurudev would sometimes ask her, you know, when I go, where do you want to stay? know, you pick a room somewhere, you know, any place in the world, you can pick a room and that will be your room, you know, after I go. You know, he wanted like to give her some security. And Bhakti Lalita, she really didn't appreciate that question because she didn't want to think about Gurudev leaving. What would life be without him? So she wouldn't answer. Many times he asked her over the years and she wouldn't answer. And then finally, the very last time he asked her, and I don't remember exactly when, but it was shortly before he left, you know, maybe a few days or something like that. And she said that Gurudev called her over and he asked her again. And this time she was inspired to give an answer. And she thought it was a very clever answer. She told him, "I want a room next to you in Goloka Vrindavan." But Srila Gurudev, he was not pleased with that response. And he replied, "Well, I care about the mission." You know, like implying you don't, you know, obviously you don't care about this mission and you can give it up so easily, but I care, you know. And so that instruction is very important for us, very encouraging also, gives us some direction that Gurudev, he still cares for this mission, and we have that responsibility to try to continue with that. Srila Gurudev also spoke so much about, you know, service connection being the substantial thing. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj, you know, he would give the example when Srila Rupa Goswami was instructed by Mahaprabhu in Prayag, and then afterwards, you know, Mahaprabhu sent him to Vrindavan, and Mahaprabhu himself was going to return to Puri. And Srila Rupa Goswami said, you know, "My Lord, please, I cannot bear the waves of separation from you. Please allow me to go with you." And Mahaprabhu, he replies, you know, "Tomar kartavya amar vachan." Your duty is to follow my order. And, you know, we will be connected like that, you know. In your fulfilling my will, that will be real association. We will be connected in the plane of consciousness, no? The substantial plane. In your adhering to my will, my desire, we will be connected. You know, this physical closeness, this is not the substantial thing. And so that was like a major theme, actually, of Gurudev's instruction to us. And in my personal experiences with Gurudev, that was always, I felt, one of the main things he was trying to teach me. So the example I wanted to mention is in that talk that I mentioned before that Gurudev gave a few months after Srila Sridhar Maharaj left. He described how, you know, after Srila Sridhar Maharaj left, there was a lot of disruption in the mission, and there were, unfortunately, there was a group that they were anti to our Gurudev, you know, as we, you know, we're experiencing now, you know, it is normal when a great personality leaves, there will be some disturbance. So anyhow, there was like an anti-group, and in London in particular, there was a very awful incident. This group sold the London temple, and they, ran away with the money to that. It was very, terrible incident. And Srila Gurudev, he said that, he received a call about this, and in that moment when he received the call, he said that he was experiencing the most painful separation. He said that he was lamenting, Guru Maharaj is not here, Guru Maharaj is not here, Guru Maharaj is not here. It's like that was all that he could think about, and really suffering. And so he said at that very moment he got that message, about what had taken place at the London Mat. And he took it as very significant, because London was, it was always had a special place, in our mission. It was, Srila Sridhar Maharaj considered it to be his own temple, his own place. Because, of course, his guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had requested him to go to London. But Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he had humbly declined and, said, I don't feel that I'm the fittest person for this. And he recommended that Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj go, and which happened. So he humbly declined, but he always felt that, he had that feeling in his heart that, my Guru Maharaj asked me to go and I didn't go, I didn't fulfill that desire. And so when some of the devotees in London, they proposed to make a center there in his name, in the name of Chaitanya Saraswat, then Srila Sridhar Maharaj was very pleased, and because he felt like this would fulfill what was his debt to his guru, what was his service that was lacking, that would be fulfilled if a temple in his name would be established in London. So he felt that, special appreciation for the London Mat. He mentioned the London Mat in his will. I believe it was practically the only Mat outside of India that he mentioned. And so in that way, Gurudev thought of London as Guru Maharaj's Mat, Srila Sridhar Maharaj's Mat. And so when he got this, Srila Gurudev took it as very significant that just at this moment, when he was feeling the most profound separation, he received this call, about disturbance in Guru Maharaj's own Mat, his own temple. And he said he felt that it was Guru Maharaj himself, arranging this, to tell him, wake up, do your service. You will connect with me through service. And he said this was Guru Maharaj's policy. You think about your service and we will be connected in that way. So that is also very instructive for us. And we are so fortunate we have, in that talk, Gurudev said, Guru Maharaj, he was living on the highest platform of Krishna consciousness. But in order to teach us, he was showing the practice of Krishna consciousness. And he said, and he gave us so much. And he said, if one thing would have been enough for us, if he gave us one thing, but he gave us so many things. And also now, if we reflect upon it, Gurudev has given us so much, and most significantly, he's given us so much service opportunity. We have so many qualified Vaishnavas, Srila Gurudev appointed these acharyas in particular, but also so many qualified devotees, senior devotees who
who have so much experience, who have, you know, some real devotion for our Gurudev and for our Guru Varga. And it is really our great opportunity to continue to serve our Gurudev under, you know, through these great Vaishnavas in our mission, under their guidance. That's on one side. And then on the other side, for those who may have, you know, less than we have, to try to extend to them what we have, to try to share with them, you know. Right now I'm in Kiev, you know, Ukraine, and here, you know, it's like maybe 90% or something like that, like second generation devotees, you know, devotees who didn't directly meet our Gurudev and their disciples of I think mainly of Srila Vidut Maharaj, the ones that I'm meeting, and coming here. I mean, I feel like, you know, like there's like I have like there's some real necessity for me to like share something with these disciples. I mean, of course, you know, they get so much from Srila Vidut Maharaj and from, you know, other senior devotees. And, you know, they love Avadhut Maharaj, they love Goswami Maharaj, they love Srila Charja Maharaj and Madhusudan Maharaj and like that. But also, you know, like when I'm here, I feel like they're getting some like different angle when I'm speaking, you know. And I feel like this is real like relief work, you know. That I have something, I got something, some little thing from my Gurudev, and I'm able to share that with these people who didn't have that direct meeting, and it makes everything so much more meaningful to me, actually. So we have that duty also, that what we got, what was extended to us, to try to share that with others, try to extend that with others. We want that others will also get some feeling for what it was that our Gurudev gave us. It wasn't just a philosophy, you know, it wasn't just conception, but he came with a very particular mood, you know, with a particular potency, vitality, and that's really, you know, that essential thing, that is what we want to try to convey to others, you know, that like life force of Krishna consciousness, that living vital force of real Krishna consciousness, you know, we have to try to extend that to others. That is like what is expected of us, actually. It's not that our Gurudev wants to give us something to sit on, that he gave us so much and we're just going to sit on that. We have to try to share that, extend that to others. So when we think like that, then, you know, like, we're so busy, like how can we have any time for anything else? And trying to render service to the existing community, existing mission, existing acharyas, you know, where that keeps us busy. And then on the other hand, trying to extend that to others, to future generations. You know. And in particular, you know, his mood of love and affection, that is what is most striking about him. That is my feeling, and that is what many have said. You know, Srila Charja Maharaj also gave that name to Gurudev's Samadhi, the temple of love and affection. So, you know, we feel, in general, that was Gurudev's special quality, you know, his uniqueness, that he put so much emphasis on that in regards to how we will practice Krishna consciousness, how we will deal with our, you know, God brothers and God sisters. And he himself was the embodiment of that, of love and affection. So he, you know, that was very, very core teaching of his. And that will, and really, that is only, that is the only thing that will enable us to sustain our practice of Krishna consciousness, if we do it with a mood of love and affection. Srila Trivikra Maharaj, Bhakti Vijay Trivikra Maharaj, he's, maybe you've also heard the story before, but he's told how on one occasion Gurudev gave him what he calls a reinitiation into the Trinadapi Shloka. And of course this verse, that was also very, you know, fundamental primary teaching of our Gurudev, Trinadapi Sunichena. Dori Vasahishnamanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahadi, to be more humble than a blade of grass, to be tolerant like a tree, to give honor to others without expecting in return. You know, this was his main teaching to us. You know, who can do that? They can take the name. So on this occasion, Srila Gurudev, he explained that, you know, that also has to be done with love and affection. And actually what happened, we can tell the story. And two of Srila Gurudev's servitors, they were having some quarrel, and it became physical, and so they were like physically fighting with one another on Gurudev's veranda, and Srila Gurudev was in another room. And then Gurudev came in, and the two servitors, they broke apart, and one of them ran out. And then Gurudev went and sat in his chair, and the one who was staying behind, she went up to Gurudev crying, and Srila Gurudev told her, you must tolerate. And that girl, she said, but I am tolerating, you know, I'm tolerating so much. And Srila Gurudev said, but you are tolerating by the book. You are tolerating by the law. And that has its limit. You know, that has its limit within this world. But you must tolerate with heart, with affection. That has no limit. No. That can continue unlimitedly. There was another occasion, Srila Gurudev was in Govardhan. I was there at that time, it was 2008. And it was Srila Gurudev's last visit there. And he commented, you know, Srila Gurudev would sometimes speak about these three aspects of our existence: willing, feeling, and thinking. And he said, willing can fly. You know, it is not stable. You know, it can fly. And he said, thinking can fly. And then he said, but feeling, that is stable. No. Feeling will last. No. Feeling is steady. So, you know, if we are approaching the practice of Krishna consciousness with anything other than a mood of affection, you know, and desire, heart desire and necessity, then we, you know, our success is not assured. Our ability to continue on the path, that is not assured. If we're approaching with the mentality that, you know, we can do so many things, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, that will not keep us going. We'll become tired, you know. If we're approaching with an intellectual attitude, wanting to understand and know and analyze the philosophy, that also, that will become tiring, we'll become bored, we'll lose interest. That's not going to really attach us, fix us. But heart, you know, if we can have a connection of heart, you know, that will keep us on the path, you know, forever. If we have that affectionate bond. You know, And in Srila Gurudev's own life, he perfectly was, you know, he showed that example. He was the embodiment of that, you know, doing everything out of a mood of loving surrender to his Guru Maharaj. You know, he came as a young man, as a teenager. He was 17 years old, and you know, he had a happy life, you know. And he left everything to serve his Guru Maharaj. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj was very strict. Gurudev mentioned that, you know, that was why in the mat, it was always very small, the mat. There were always like few brahmacharis there because nobody could tolerate Srila Sridhar Maharaj's strictness. He was very strict. Gurudev said that, you know, he was an energetic teenager. And he mentioned how he liked to play football. He'd play football every day in Nadangat, the village where he was working as a doctor's apprentice. And so when he came to the mat, you know, he wanted to do some exercise, you know, stretch his muscle. And so he was planning to maybe do some running or something, do some form of exercise. But when he mentioned it to Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, no, you cannot do that. He said, if you like, then you can do some gardening. You can do some gardening for the deities, do some service in their garden. And in that way, you'll automatically get some exercise also. But separately, you cannot do anything. You know? He was that strict. You know, another time, somebody gave Gurudev a watch, some nice watch, and Srila Sridhar Maharaj gave a look at that, and you know, didn't say anything, but indicating, you know, that he wasn't pleased that Gurudev would wear that, and then and Gurudev, he could understand, and he gave it up. In the same way that Mahaprabhu, he wasn't pleased with the fancy blanket that Sanatana Goswami was wearing when he left the government, the work of the under the Muslim government, and came to take shelter. Mahaprabhu, his brother-in-law had given him this nice blanket. Mahaprabhu didn't say anything, just gave him a look. Sanatana Goswami could understand. Mahaprabhu doesn't like this. So Sridhar Maharaj's standard was like that, like of the Goswamis and Mahaprabhu, you know, like very strict, very simple, very austere. And, you know, the prasadam was very simple. They would practically eat just what came from the garden. The Gurudev said, sometimes we'd buy some potatoes, or maybe regularly they would buy potatoes for Sridhar Maharaj only. That was like a specialty. But otherwise, they would just eat what they grew in the garden. He mentioned there was one, I don't remember the name of it, it's still growing in the mat, something like a fig. There were some, you know, these fruits they would use to make sabji out of. But the tree was always covered in these big fire ants, you know, these angry red, big red angry ants, but they couldn't just neglect the fruits, you know, not use them in service. And so the brahmacharis would take turns to go up and pick these fruits, and you know, whoever went up that tree, they would get bitten by these ants, you know, they might get a little sick from that. So, you know, very, very simple life. They had, you know, they had very little money. But Gurudev said he never felt that it was austere, you know. He felt that everything was Guru Maharaj's love and affection. And he also mentioned, you know, if some difficulty came to him, you know, like in particular, the most difficult thing Gurudev faced was the envy of some of the other members of the mat, because Sridhar Maharaj, of course, announced him as his successor. I mean, like within a week
Srila Sridhar Maharaj was talking about that with his, you know, associates. And he publicly announced it just a few months. It was when it was in Midnapur at Jajavar Maharaj's mat. They were on their way to Puri for Ate Acha. So Gurudev came, Nishinga Chaturdasi day, then a few months later they're going for Ratayacha, and then on the way they stop in Midnapur, and there Srila Sridhar Maharaj publicly announced, you know, if this boy can follow me, he will be my successor. And that, you know, that actually made Gurudev's life difficult. Gurudev said something about, like, then my fighting days began, you know, because they were, some of the other members of the mat, they were very envious, and they were thinking, oh, that they would be the ones to take over them. Unfortunately, very sad to think about it, but Srila Gurudev mentioned that in Srila Sridhar Maharaj's horoscope, it said he would only live to, like, 62 years or something. Of course, he lived far beyond that. But they saw this in his horoscope and thought, oh, he will leave soon and then he'll leave in the mat to us. So some of them were thinking like that. And then when Gurudev, Srila Sridhar Maharaj announced Gurudev, they were very envious. And they gave Gurudev a very hard time in different ways. And so that was miserable for Gurudev. And even he wanted to leave, you know, at one time. But he also described how he said when he wanted to go once, he said he asked permission from the trees. And the trees of the mat, they would not give him permission to go. Srila Gurudev, of course, he was living on a very, you know, very deep plane of reality. He was connecting with consciousness everywhere. And we saw, in particular with trees, he had very, you know, strong care for trees. He didn't like that they would be hurt in any way. He would never cut a tree. He would build around a tree, but he, you know, wouldn't cut a tree. But Srila Gurudev, you know, also he expressed that he was bound by the affection of his Guru Maharaj. That was what kept him. That was what bound him in service. You know, the love and affection of his Guru Maharaj. And so we pray, you know, that we may be conscious of the causeless love and affection of our Gurudev, and that may bind us, you know, may keep us, you know, in his service for eternity. And also related to this theme of love and affection, Srila Gurudev would also encourage the devotees to take responsibility, in a sense, you know, for their own progress. You know, like, not like you're leaning on this or that, or Gurudev said this or Gurudev said that, or this rule or that rule, or what should I do, what shouldn't I do, or become complacent, you know, in any way, but to like develop ourselves a sense of what is right, what is wrong, what is the proper way to proceed, you know, out of our own desire to progress, out of our own desire to do the right thing. That we should develop that feeling within our own heart. This like transcends, this is like Raga Marg actually, and this transcends any conception of right or wrong or should or shouldn't. But that we ourselves, we desire to serve, you know. We have that desire ourselves. You know, sometimes when we've heard from Bhakti Lita, sometimes when devotees would ask Gurudev for an instruction, especially if it was someone who had been practicing for some years and, you know, had some experience, some maturity, that Gurudev would, if they asked Gurudev, like, what should I do? Can you give me some advice? any service you want to give me. Gurudev would tell them, you know, you're a mature devotee in Krishna consciousness. You try to understand, you know, what is the proper way to proceed. He wanted it to come from our heart, from our own desire. Not because somebody said, but from the heart, you know, out of a desire to give more. You know, he didn't want to, like, tell anybody, you know. He wanted us to want to do it. Not that we would have to be ordered. Like, I just heard one talk Gurudev gave in Italy in 2000. He was saying that if I need a glass of water and I ask you, can you give me a glass of water? You know, that's like a, you know, standard transaction. That's service, no doubt. But he said, but if you will give me a glass of water without me having to ask, you know, because you've understood, oh, you know, he needs some water. You know, you have consciousness, you have feeling, you have understanding. You can come to that conclusion yourself. Oh, you know, he needs some water, you know, and let me go out of the way and give my energy to bring that. And he said, that is higher service. That is higher level service. Divya Shakti Didi, she shared a really nice example of this, that one year she was in Navadvip. It was, I don't remember which year, was it 95 or, I can't say. But it was the year that Srila Gurudev went to visit Bamampar for the first time. After 50 years, he hadn't been back all the years in the mud. He hadn't been back to his birthplace. And so Srila Acharya Maharaj, he like secretly built this temple in Bamampara. And then it was, and like it became, you know, it was his offering to Gurudev. And Gurudev was going to go there to visit. And it was, you know, it was a major event. And many devotees came from all over the world, more devotees than usual, and it was Gurudev's Vyasa Puja time in December. And so it was like an extra special Vyasa Puja, and then the day after, everyone was going to go to Bamampar. And Divya Shakti Didi was there, a part of that group, and this was like, I don't know, maybe a week or 10 days before Gurudev's Vyasa Puja. You know, very happy festival atmosphere. And they're sitting one morning on Gurudev's veranda. And then maybe Gurudev had a phone call or something, but he mentioned to the devotees there with some disappointment that he'd received this news that there was some construction going on at our Vrindavan temple. And they had to stop the construction because they ran out of funds. And so Gurudev expressed his disappointment about this. You know, they didn't have the funds to continue. And so Divya Shakti is sitting there, and of course, she was always Gurudev's collector. She was known for that. She was Gurudev's personal collector. And so when she heard this, she you know, immediately had a sense of responsibility. Oh, Gurudev needs some money for this service, and I'm his collector, and I'm sitting right here in front of him. And but at the same time, she felt some reluctance, you know. She didn't want to leave Gurudev's association. She didn't want to leave the devotees. She didn't want to miss out on this special pilgrimage to Bamampara with Gurudev and all the devotees. And so she felt a little torn. And then finally she thought, no, this is my service. And so she said, like, hesitatingly to Gurudev, Gurudev, would you like me to go and collect for this project? And she said, Srila Gurudev became very happy. And he responded, yes, this is the process. Not that I will ask you, and you will do, but that you yourself will come forward. You yourself will offer to do this service. So this was also like a major theme, you know, I would say, of Gurudev. In my own experiences with Gurudev, I saw that, you know. He wasn't like pushing you to do something. If anything, he might push you away, you know, and like intensify your, like you're coming forward and he's like kind of rejecting you a little bit. And that's actually like increasing your desire, you know, intensifying your desire to serve and have connection. He was very expert in drawing out, you know, that hidden and intrinsic element of dedication that is within all of us. He was very expert in that, you know. And in this way, in many ways, Srila Gurudev, he reminds us of Krishna's Aprakrita Leela in Vrindavan, you know, in his simplicity and how he would pose in the most simple and ordinary way, and you know, like, and everything was from a place of love and affection. He didn't draw you. He drew you from, in that way, you know. He didn't have to tell you, but just because he was so loving and charming and attractive and irresistible, you know, you were compelled to come forward and offer yourself. And, you know, he would present himself in the most ordinary way. You know, this bewildered many people, you know. You know, he would, you know, he'd watch television, you know, he would go for scooter rides with the devotees. You know, he would like engage in like ordinary activities. And so that was something that bewildered people. But he was showing us, you know, Krishna consciousness is not something external. You know. It's not about making a show. You know. It's something internal. It is a consciousness with which you will, you know, view the whole environment. And you may interact and engage in so many different things of this world. But whether it is Krishna conscious or not will be dependent on your own mood of dedication, your own spirit of dedication. So he was a Paramahamsa, you know, of the highest level. Everywhere he was extracting divinity, you know, he could be apparently doing the most ordinary thing, but the consciousness behind that was like utterly beyond anything of this mundane plane. Like one time in Russia, there was an advert that he saw on the television. It was for a pen, very ordinary advert for a pen. And then later in his talk, Srila Gurudev, he referred to that advert and how it had inspired him and how it reminded him of the Ramananda Sambhad and Chaitanya Charitamrita, the conversation between Ramananda Rai. Like, you're, it just blows your mind. Like, you're thinking he's watching television, you know, but he's on a completely, you know, different platform. He was like, you know, he would shake people up, like, make you reconceive what your understanding of Krishna consciousness is. He would show us that Krishna consciousness is something very intrinsic and natural. It's not like a formal practice in any way. And he would do things like to like really surprise people, and you know, just like you know, he had such a wonderful sense of humor. Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, he described him as a transcendental humorist. And you know, we saw that how he had such a wonderful sense of humor. You know, he would like play around with words, and he would imitate people's expressions or like manner of speech, and or he would do like very surprising things, like even things that like shocked people, like some of the devotees in California, they told me when Gurudev gave one lecture, he was on a stage, a public lecture, he was on a stage, and then after the talk, the stage was maybe like 5 feet off the ground. After the talk, they started a kirtan, and then there was a big crowd like at the bottom of the stage, and Gurudev just like jumped off the stage right into the crowd, you know. Everybody was astonished, like, you know, like a teenager, like at a music concert or something like that. And Yudhamanyu Prabhu also told me that at a public talk, Gurudev stood up, he was walking in the front, and he said he, at one point, Gurudev, he put his feet in his hands and he started walking like a duck. You know, you could do like these just like outrageous, like silly things, you know, and it just like would break all your stereotypes, you know. And he also, he allowed such intimacy, you know, with the devotees. You know, he would eat at the same table, and you know, Srila Janardana Maharaj, he told how, you know, he would take food, sometimes like take food from their plates, and you know, he told one time there was Bhakti Kiran Giri Maharaj, he's a disciple of Srila Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj. He came to visit Gurudev, and Gurudev had him eat things off of the plates of the Western, you know, sannyasis. And for us it doesn't, you know, mean so much, but like, you know, according to the Vedic, you know, custom, you know, you lost your status, you lost your caste. If you sit at the same table from someone of a lower caste, what to speak of a mlecha, you know, these Western mlechas, you know, you're ruined, you know. So like these things were important in the Vedic traditional stereotyped, you know, Vedic religion. But Gurudev, he totally disregarded those things, you know, completely, and he would reciprocate him in a very like intimate way, you know. He entered the hearts of the devotees in a very intimate way, and I feel that in that way he showed that this is something very close to you. You know, Krishna consciousness is something very close and very natural, not a separate thing, not something over there, not a formal practice, but it is so like, you know, natural and intrinsic. And And there's so many stories, you know. Braja Mohini, this is just one that comes to mind. Braja Mohini Didi, she told me how at one period she was in Calcutta, she was going out with Bhakti Lalita for a collection. Like they'd go to businesses in the city, and they'd come, you know, they'd go out in the maybe afternoon, come back evening or night, and so one day they were out, and at that time the phone, well, it always was like that, the phone line, it was like the advertised phone, and of course, you know, nobody had this is in the like early 90s, nobody had mobile phones, so like the phone number for the temple, that phone was in Gurudev's room on his desk, so like every phone call would go through him or could potentially go through him. And Braja Mohini, she said that sometimes her mother would call the temple like to see how she was doing, and so this one evening Braja Mohini was out and her mother called, and Gurudev answered, and she was asking about her daughter, and Gurudev, when Braja Mohini came back, then Gurudev told her, I told her, you know, I don't know where your daughter is, you know, it's getting very late now and she's been gone so many hours and I don't know, you know, what's going on with her. And Braja Mohini was so charmed by that, you know.
Gurudev, you know, he had that very like playful like exchange and was like teasing her mother, you know. He could be very intimate like that, you know. She told me also Sita Devi Dasi, she was a Srila Gurudev's secretary for many years, and she was very neglectful of her own self, you know, her health and her clothes, everything. She was just so surrendered to Gurudev and completely neglected herself. And she would wear like these old and ripped saris, and so she said one time they were in Puri with Gurudev, and Srila Gurudev went shopping one day and he personally bought like two or three saris for Sita, you know, like a father, and he gave them to her. And so much personal care for the devotees. He was a homeopath, he was an expert homeopath, and he would like personally administer medicine like in the mouth, you know, to the devotee. He was so expert in being able to diagnose. And a few devotees have told me that Gurudev observed their condition, and even without asking many questions, he prescribed a remedy for them, homeopathic remedy, and instantly, you know, at least two devotees have told me that. Kumkum Didi told me that. And also Chudanji Maharaj, Bhakti Srup Chudanji Maharaj in the UK. He in his case, it was more extraordinary because he said Gurudev didn't see him. He had his like back became practically paralyzed, and he like couldn't move from his room. And somebody told his this was like in the 80s, and somebody reported his symptoms to Gurudev. And Gurudev, he was able to determine exactly which remedy and which potency, because this is the thing about homeopathy, it's such a precise science. Very rare to find a good, you know, homeopath. So Gurudev, without even seeing him and just hearing like secondhand what his symptoms were, he prescribed exactly the right remedy. It was delivered to Chudandi Maharaj, and he said after he took it, instantly, you know, he was recovered. He could move, you know. But anyhow, the point I'm making is how much personal attention and personal care he had for the devotees. Would visit devotees. Divya Shakti told me that she was staying in a dharmashala and in Vrindavan once, and she was very became very sick. Gurudev personally went to visit her, you know, expressed great concern. She had an operation once. She had to have an operation once, and Gurudev like personally he knew all about it, and he like told her exactly like what type of operation she should have done, and you know, different details, and he would become very involved, you know, in the devotees' lives. And so in that way, it was like he brought Krishna consciousness very deeply into our hearts, you know, because he is synonymous with Krishna consciousness for so many of us, you know. Trying to serve him is our Krishna consciousness. And so his mood of intimacy, love and affection, it like drives everything so much more deeply into our hearts. Well, I've spoken too much. I'm just rambling on here. I'll just conclude saying, you know, our prayer is that we can be faithful disciples of His divine grace, that we can be worthy, you know, of having been accepted by Him. And my appreciation to all the devotees of Orisaba and Gaur Narayan Prabhu for giving me this opportunity. Jai Shri Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Tariya Chirabhav Mahamahotsav Ki Jai. Todos los devotos de Unidos Ki Jai Shri Bhakti Kusham Ashram Maharaj Ki Jai Shri Bhakti Nirmala Charja Maharaj Ki Jai. Anantakuti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.